All right, welcome into See Ball, Get Ball. This is a fun edition. I'm David Pollack. Brent Rollins joins me like always. This will be fun, too, because we're going to rank the top 10 pass rushers. I'm going to rank them, like how I would rank them the best. But Brent works for PFF, and he knows all the numbers and the pressures, and it's kind of cool because, Brent, it's an inexact science. Like when you're ranking these guys, that it's kind of like when we did our quarterback thing the other day. You know, I started to go, okay, potential. Who's got the potential? Who's got the potential? Who's a really good player, but now who has something, a discernible trait or talent that could get them to the next level as opposed to some of the guys that they might be pretty good, but they're closer to a finished product and that's who they are. That's what they are. So a lot to take in. I'll tell you like this, Brent. I have a lot more respect for McShay and Jeremiah and Yates and those guys now because – like my head started hurting. I mean, I was on a couple hours of just like already watched the tape, studied the guys, but now putting them in order, which is absolutely irrelevant. Like who's one compared to two? I'm like, no, I don't want this. And I got stuck at one point, I'll tell you, where I really wanted to do something, but I couldn't do it. I couldn't pull the trigger. But much respect for those guys that do these lists for a living.
Yeah, it's one of those things where we're going to have to sort of talk process because what we did with this, and by the way, this is new because in the past for the draft, you know, I'm sure teams call you and say, hey, what's your thoughts on this guy? What's your thoughts on that guy? But it's not like you have to get on TV and do a rankings. You get on TV and talk about them and what you saw and those sort of things in the past. This is an actual, like, you're a draft guy now, like, kind of thing. And you can do that when you have your own podcast, I guess. But so what I gave you a list of names. I think it was like maybe 15, like at least 20 probably names, and I kind of used the consensus board to at least give those names, and then you went and watched. So what's the process? Talk me through the process.
I don't think highlights does it enough because I think highlights are a lie because highlights are the best of what you are and the best of who you are. So like that's something I think it's important to make sure that you go watch the game and watch play in and play out. And because what I started to do is, you know me, Britt, like my brain starts to go different directions. And now I'm thinking about like comparisons or something that comes up in my head right away. Like who am I comparing this guy to? Do they play hard? Do they have a motor? Are they competitive? Because here's the thing, like if you don't have that stuff and that doesn't consistently show up, you're in trouble. I mean, you're not going to consistently make it because you're going to go against guys that are bigger and stronger and longer and that are way more efficient with their technique and who they are. Like, so you're going to have a plan. And that's where I think, so you study who they are, how they play, their competitive football character. And then I did this. Now I started to go, okay, I love basketball. And so I started to compare everything to basketball. So to me in this draft class, you got your power forwards, you got your stretch fours, and you got your point forwards. Like, that's kind of where my brain went. Because, like, the point forward, think about, like, guys like LeBron that have it all. They have the size, they have the athletic ability, and they have the moves to be able to get where they want to get, when they want to get, and win. Like, that's obviously not somebody that, like, the Kawhi Leonards that could do that for forever. Like, that's not somebody that exists a lot. That's more of a
unique.
They have all of the traits. They check all of the boxes, which is difficult to do. Your power fours or your bigger, your maulers, your physical guys, your run, you trust them to set the run every single time. And they'll flash times when they look really athletic, but most of the time they're kind of who they are. They're a power forward. They're a banger. They want to be down low. They want the basketball. They're going to rebound. They're going to do all of that stuff. And then the stretch fours are the guys that are super athletic, right? Like they've got an extra bounce in their step. They've got that quickness. They can soar. They can shoot threes, but they're not really going to put them hands on you. You know, like they're not really wanting to run through you. And, you know, some of this, and here's the thing, you got all this dialogue that goes through different channels, right? Because you start with the process of watching the tape in college. You got Senior Bowl stuff. You got all these different things to now start. You got interviews at combines. You've got 40s. You got shuttle drills. Now, like, the whole picture starts to weave together. And I think, you know, you take all of that into account to make these decisions, which is why these guys in the NFL make decisions and they mess up every year because It ain't easy. It's really hard.
Yeah, it's a very much inexact science, but I will say throughout sort of history in a way with this, for the most part, is the ones that are just elite of all elite pass rushers that we see go in the top five kind of thing. Those guys end up being good, really good players typically in the league. You know, you look at Aiden Hutchinson, you know, the Bosas,
Miles Garrett,
guys like Miles Garrett, like they were clearly just better. And it's one of those where the traits, size, speed, it's an athleticism position. How big are you? How fast are you? All that sort of stuff. Now,
there are outliers, but they're very few and far between, right? Yeah. Like that's the thing. It's just like basketball. There are those Allen Iversons that are 6 feet tall that can do superhuman things, but they don't exist very often. They don't exist very often. And just like the quarterbacks, if you're going to be a quarterback that's not tall, you have to have discernible traits. Like you have to have something that now makes up for that. Because when you're standing in the pocket and you got giants around you, it's hard to negotiate ways to throw the football. Like I can't throw through a 6'9", the backside of somebody that's enormous. And so I have to be able to do things that are unique. The more you don't have those longer arms, the taller frames, the quick twitch get off, like you better be really, really elite in other areas. And that's obviously a lot harder to do because the whole game of pass rush to me starts with your first step. Like when I can win with my first step, when I can immediately make that tackle uncomfortable and make him do something he doesn't want to do, I can beat him right away. And that's what's kind of fun about this is because there are different ways to win, but you do have to have some form of a baseline of talent because otherwise you're going against freaks.
Okay. So our point forwards are kind of do everything guys. Our power forwards are win with bull rush and power guys. And maybe the stretch fours are the win with speed on the edge kind of guys. Is that yep. How we're looking at them? All right. So you talked about get off there. Cause I know that's something, you know, in terms of coaching and everything that we've discussed as it relates to football that you look at and can instantly see and or not see. What is it that exactly that you're looking for there?
Well, here's the thing about get off. There's a couple components to it. Some people are twitchier than others. Like some people have the ability to see it and get off the rock. Other people, I think, anticipate really, really well. Like that's a different skill set. Like they are twitching. You know, they're moving. Like they're ready for that ball to move. You know, there's also different indicators too. I'll never forget, Brent. I was watching the Indianapolis Colts and the Minnesota Vikings, you know, for hours. And I don't know if I've told you this story or not, but I was watching Dwight Freeney and Robert Mathis. And I was a rookie with the Bengals. And I'm sitting there watching them over and over and over again. And I'm putting it in slow motion with the clicker. And they move before the ball moves every time. Like it's this much, but it's literally right before the ball moves. And I'm like, what do they have? Like they have something that's showing them the ball is going to move. And they're obviously doing work. And it was unbelievable. And after literally a couple hours, because there's always somebody, there's always a squealer, like especially on the offensive line, the fat guys, usually there's a lazy guy that does something that gives it away. And literally going up and down the line, watching all the guys, the different snaps, run versus pass, like who is it? And I saw what it was. And it was the hands of the quarterback. And like, so they knew when the hands of the quarterback went under center, bam, they flew off the rock. And so I say that because there's more to it than just, you know, the quickness. There is this, the thinking to it, the thinking component of who will study, who will find these little extra tips. But that first get off, like if the tackle's here and the defensive end's here or the edge player's here, the most important part about pass rush is who can win that battle to here. Because that tackle's not coming to me. Like he's not coming
forward. He's going back at an angle.
Yes, he's going back. If he was coming to me and it was a race who was quicker, I would win every single time. Like these guys are big and long, but they're going backwards. And so they're trying to get back to here to set that pocket for the quarterback that's going to be over here. I'm trying to win to this spot before he gets to this spot. Obviously, my job's harder. But another thing too is when I'm coming, if I run upfield like this and I go this direction, well, then I just go right by the quarterback. That defeats the whole purpose of the pass rush. But to another skill is to be able to get to this point with my body doing this and facing this direction going towards the quarterback. So, like, it's I know it's nerdy. It sounds like, man, you're making this way too complicated. But it is complicated. There's a lot to it more than just I'm quick off the ball, and because I'm quick off the ball, I'm going to win.
Well, I think it gets into the reason that if David Pollack played 10 years in the league, you would have been a double-digit sack guy every year because you think about every little detail in this regard, and that's how you think. And you have to be elite at these things, you got to combine the physical characteristics with the elite thought and the elite plan. And I think that's what, when we get into the actual, these rankings here, which we're, you know, we're 10 minutes in, we haven't really got to yet. We probably should, I guess, for those that are, they're watching. But so without further ado, the top edge rusher for you this year is?
There is no surprise here. The point forward, there's not many of them, but this is one of them, Abdul Carter. And it's the combination of it's the combination. First of all, you've seen him stand up as an outside linebacker for several years at Penn State. He did that. You've seen him in a three-point stance. Like, he's kind of shown you his versatility, but he's also shown you that he started off as a younger kid at Penn State that had freaky twitch and freaky ability, but didn't really know what he was doing. And then all of a sudden, when he starts to put it together, you start to see, man, like, oh, wait, like he knows how to set things up now, which is crazy. And it's again, it goes back to the point forward, Brent. Like, I can be great with the ball, but if I don't know how to set up screens and if I'm not patient enough, it doesn't matter. And I think he's shown you the swipe, the rip. He's shown you toughness, which I think was a big deal for me. Getting hurt, coming back in the playoff, that said enough for me, like, about his competitive character and who he is. So, like, It's the consensus to me. I think he's the best player in the draft, and he's the number one guy because he's got the size, the twitch, the thought process, the variation of moves with a body that's, you know, I mean, it's sculpted and it's really, really, he's gifted with all, he's got it all, man. I think he's special.
Went to play sort of full-time edge this year at Penn State and responded with a 91.3 overall grade, 92.4 pass rush grade, those PFF grades, 66 pressures, 13 sacks. And he is first on the consensus board in terms of edge rankings. And shout out to Marcus, I think it's Mosher that writes for the 33rd team that sent me all the nice order of consensus rankings there. But with Carter, do you see him falling? Is there a world in your mind where he should go get past two?
No.
In the draft.
Absolutely, yeah. Not.
So it's first or second.
Yeah, and listen, the debate is what screws this up is the value of the quarterback versus the value of everything else. Like, there's no debating if you want to talk about as a prospect. Listen, Travis Hunter's an elite prospect. I mean, he doesn't take a back seat to many people in draft classes over the years. So the fact that this is a debate is a compliment to Abdul Carter. You're looking at a unicorn in Travis Hunter. So, I mean, I think it's pretty fun to do that. But the quarterback value, are the Giants going to take a quarterback? Is Cam Ward going to be that guy? If not, if that throws in the wrench, maybe. But if I'm a betting man, there's no way this dude's getting outside of two. And if he does, I think somebody's going to regret it.
All right. So this is where it gets interesting because there's some differentiations from that consensus board. Who's second on your list?
I've got Mike Green. And
Thundering Herd.
The Thundering Herd. I think immediately, I think the thought process in my head is, again, go back to basketball. He's played a bunch of guys that aren't as big, aren't as athletic, and aren't consistently great. So you take that into account, but you also take into account the Senior Bowl. And you also take into account production. And dude, super quick first step, played against Virginia Tech, played against Ohio State, had 9 pressures and a sack. Like he's had some, his outside spin against Ohio State was unbelievable. Like it reminded me of Robert Mathis. I mean, most people don't even know that name, but he was an unbelievable sack artist with the Colts and Peyton Manning. And he was the master of the outside spin. But I like the way he can go speed to power. Ask Connerly at the Senior Bowl. Unfortunately, that clip went viral. But I think, you know, there are some guys that just produce. He does. He's got 17. I think he led the nation in sacks 10. With 17. You're going to get into 17. All that stuff, so that would be good. But I like the explosiveness. I thought he was really good versus the run too. He's not somebody that I question his ability to play the run. He's not the biggest, but he's still got that, and he's got the outside spin. He's good with stunts and movement. I think that the only thing you can say about him, and the reason you probably wouldn't take him, is because of the competition. I think that's what people will say. And watching him, I don't buy that. And I think he's going to be absolute. I think he's going to be an absolute stud.
What's interesting with this is you're watching the tape and you're seeing these things and you're saying, hey, really good against the run. And then I go look at his PFF grades and his 92.4 overall and 90.2 against the run, 59 total pressures. What was interesting, I was thinking back because he's definitively a first round pick. It's just a matter of where. And by the way, and I think we obviously are doing this based on looking at tape and discussion, things like that. You're not
fit.
You didn't conduct scheme fit analysis. You didn't conduct the background check. You didn't see if the kid, you know, took out the $100 bill at the end of the playbook, like Bo Callahan in the Draft Day movie, that kind of thing. You know, so that's not there. It's more tape based. But thinking about Marshall, by the way, when was the last? Do you remember the last first round pick that Marshall had?
Does Randy Moss Leftwich?
Leftwich,
yeah.
Byron Leftwich, seventh in 2003 was the last first round pick Marshall had. When you had that run of Moss, Pennington, bunch of guys, Vinnie Curry in the second round in like the early 2010. So you know, it's just been a while for Marshall. So. And seeing guys at non-power four schools be first round picks, and even in this case, potentially a very high first round pick, is just something that is unique now, because typically those guys have shown out and are now moving up and into the transfer portal world. And he didn't, and he balled out consecutive years at Marshall and completely dominated. And like you said, against Virginia, he had the game against Virginia Tech too, where he had 8 pressures and a sack against Virginia Tech. So it wasn't like he didn't play very well against the competition that he saw. So by the way, also he's fourth on the consensus board. So you're a little different in that realm.
Yeah.
All right. Who's next? Third.
All right. This is where this one got a little bit harder for me at three. I could
so
have
you think there's a gap, by the way. So you think 1-2 and then gap?
Yeah. No? I just, these next guys, I don't, okay, I'll explain. First, I'll go with my third guy.
Yep.
Jalen Walker, excuse me. Jalen Walker, he's got the stretch four vibe, obviously. Like he played off the ball some. I trust his football character. I trust his IQ. He shows me some things where like his feet and his hands are just like slippery. You know, he's got some he's got some cool element to him where, you know, he'll cross you up and he'll make you look silly and do some things that his body just naturally does that is really, really good. You know, I think it's hard because he didn't play on the edge full time. I think if he did, I think it'd be an easier evaluation. I think he's way better on the edge. I think people are going to talk about how you can put him in space. I don't necessarily like him off the ball as much as I like him on the ball. Now, spying a quarterback, he absolutely can do. He can spy, he can close, great angles, like a fun guy to have when you're going to play against quarterbacks now in the NFL that are athletic as crap. But I kind of like the movement skills, the slipperiness, the counters. Like he's not the guy that wins all the time right off of the line of scrimmage, but I do think the other traits with the ability to kind of set up rushes and to use counters and to be naturally shifty, that's what's different a little bit about him to me. He's not a finished product by any stretch, and you know, a lot of these guys aren't, and they're going to continue to grow and get better. I feel like he's going to do this. I feel like he's going to take off a little bit and really, once he starts in NFL pass rush mode and gets in that mode and does it full time, I think he's got some of those gifts that a lot of guys don't have.
The question will be, I think, can he play on the edge full time at the NFL level as a 6'1", you know, 31st percentile height guy, you know, 240 pounds. Now his wingspan, very long. He has a, you know, almost 80 inch wingspan. But what's amazing about him, he didn't even play 1,000 total snaps in 3 years at Georgia. Like, it was like 900 and something snaps in 3 years. Like some of these other guys, like some other players we're going to look at here in a minute, played almost 800 snaps this season alone. And he just did it in the, you know, didn't even do 1,000 in the last 3 years. But the whole Izzy and off-ball linebacker combo, kind of a la Micah Parsons when he came into the league. But what did Micah Parsons do? He trans, you know, he's now a sort of full-time edge player. And I will say, I don't like Jalen Walker gets talked about like at eighth to Carolina or in a top 10 pick world. If you're not playing him at edge full time, I don't see how that's worth a top 10 pick.
No,
because like if you look at the linebackers in the NFL who led linebackers in the NFL in pressures a season ago, it was Caden Ellis for the Falcons. Like that guy's not a, you know, he was a bargain basement in a way, free agent signing that they used in a hybrid role. That's not worth a top 15 pick, I don't think.
Well, and that's where this thing gets to, like, that's where, like, putting this puzzle together with all of the teams, with their systems and their needs and how they draft. Like, that's why there's masters at this, and because there's people that play chess and there's people that play checkers. Like, there are people that see the board and they understand, no, that's not who they are. That's not who they are. Like, this person's going to fall. And Jalen Walker, I feel like he could be that guy, actually. I feel like he could go down a little bit further than maybe his talent, but just good kid, trust his football character. I got to cheat a little bit and spend some time with him, too, last year during the season. And I just, you know, listening to him pick my brain and just talk, and I'm like, okay, like he gets it. I mean, he just he's not one of those guys that thinks he's got it all figured out. He'll come in. I think he'll work. And if with the natural slipperiness and the natural gifts he's got with his feet, that's going to lead to a good player and a good product in the NFL.
Big, but when he's been on the edge and when he's been on and been moved around, even on guards, things like that, and go back and watch if for those of you that are in the draft world and you're just watching this past season, go back and watch the SEC championship game against Alabama from two seasons ago, him versus J.C. Latham. There's a couple times where he makes J.C. Latham, who was a, you know, like eighth overall pick, seventh overall pick, look pretty silly as a rusher. So,
and that Texas, I think he's game, gonna, a Texas game doesn't hurt his draft stock either.
No, but I would say the Texas game was more of scheme and him being explosive as a spy than it was him just winning as a rusher on the edge. So there's a little bit of both in that, but still okay. And by the way, he was second on the consensus board. So third in your ranking, second on the consensus board. All right, fourth.
I'm going Donovan Ezeraku.
Ezeraku. Yep.
First of all, his name's number one on the board. Great name. This dude's awesome. I will be the first to admit, I didn't study him a lot during the season. And, you know, you watched Florida State, the Florida State game with Boston College, and I remember watching the Missouri game, and I watched him, you know, from time to time, and we had Billy O'Brien on. I love Billy. But this guy's got it. I mean, he gets, I think, as much as anybody in this class, and look, he's not the physical tool set of Carter. He's not. Like, he doesn't have that, but he's got great length, and he understands the top of his rush. Like, we were talking about, like, meeting at that spot. He understands it as well as anybody in this class, actually better than everybody in this class. And I almost put him second. Like, I debated putting him second. Like, that's how much I love this guy. I really think he's good. I like his burst. I like his variation. He sees exactly what the plan is of what they're doing to you and has a plan of how to attack it. And he hunts the football. He plays hard. He chases from the backside. Another thing about a great pass rusher, Brent, is the timing of when I win matters. And there's a lot of guys that get the forced fumbles. He's one of those guys. And the reason, because he gets to the top of his route and he understands how to be bent and he understands his body angles and he gets to the quarterback really, really quickly. And that's why he wins, man. I just, I didn't have a lot to say about him that wasn't good. I mean, counter, spin, swim, club, like he showed you the variation of everything he's got. And you just talk about from a guy that's, I don't know what's not to like about him. Is he a freak elite as far as size? Is he a athletic freak compared to some of these guys? No, but as far as the tape's concerned, he don't take a backseat to nobody.
6'2 and a half, 248 pounds. And I'm using the mock draftable website as these comparison pieces. So that's 19th and 11th percentile. But you mentioned length, 82 and three quarters wingspan, 85th percentile there. Three cone, which was your specialty, 91st, he's 6.94 in a three cone, 91st percentile, 20 yard shuttle, 92nd percentile. So the things that discussing.
Like I just want y'all to know this. Like, when you're evaluating pass rushers, their 40 time means jack shiznick. It means less than nothing. How quick can they get from this spot to this spot really quickly? That's all that matters. Like, the 10 yard, you can give me the 10 yard. Like, I'll look at the 10 yard 100%. Their 10 yard split matters. The short shuttle where you change directions, you know, one time you start, you change directions again, and you go through a lot. Like, that's football. Like, that's how you move as a defensive lineman. The three cone, you're moving. You're weaving in and out like you would in real football. Like, that's playing football. And so that's why his is good, because he is athletic. And more importantly, I just love everything about his game. And that dude, I like his football character. He stayed at Boston College, by the way. He didn't have to. Mm-hmm. That guy had opportunities to go elsewhere for NIL and make money. And he was like, I'm good here. Like, I know what I got here. I'm going to go play. This is where I'm at. And he did it as well as anybody in the country. I think he was second in sacks last year in the nation, 14. Right?
Speaking to the football character piece, from just looking at it from a sheer data perspective and not even knowing the person, as a sophomore at Boston College, he had 8 sacks. Then as a junior, dipped down, only had 2 sacks. And then this year had an absolute just dominating year. That says to me that the data is telling a story about the person, about, hey, he went and said, all right, this isn't good enough. I'm going to work and get better and do things and do kind of work in a way that I hadn't before. So I like that very much. So he's 7th, by the way, on the consensus board. So 4th in your rankings, 7th on the consensus board. So you've got him higher than most. All right. So 5th.
All right. I'm going James Pierce from Tennessee. He looks the part, man. Like he looks like a, yeah. And again, he's a stretch 4. I mean, he's tall, he's lean, he chews up grounds with his steps. I like it. He's smooth. He's really, really smooth. You can tell the athleticism, you know, pops off of the tape. He's obviously, he's the one that's had like the football question, the character questions. And I think, and yes. So I'm not going to lie. Like, I've thought about that because it's been talked about, like, you know, he's got some issues off the field that people keep bringing up. And when they keep bringing it up, there's something to it. There's validity to it. But when you talk about like watching him on tape, they moved him around at Tennessee. Now, listen, he's another one too, Brent. I'd be interested to see the stats. He didn't play all the time. Like, it's kind of frustrating watching his tape, because it's like, where is he? And they rotated so many guys through, but you would find him over a guard. And I thought he was really good over guards, standing up. Like, I thought he was really good moving him around. He was good in stunts. But you talk about, like, smooth. He is the power forward, but I think he was also good against the run. Like, he didn't look like a linear guy that couldn't bend and couldn't stick people. He looked like an athlete that was long, that was tall, but also a guy that knows how to play football. He's a guy that, man, like, he's putting up some highlights, and he's putting up some moments where you go, woof. Okay, like that's
different.
That's different when he puts all of that together and consistently gets it. And then he's a guy that like that's going to be. I think he'll be one of those guys that are drafted probably a little bit down because of some of the question marks. And people are going to go, "How the freak did we let this guy get outside the top 10?" Because his ability screamed top 10. His ability to do things that other people can't do is pretty good. But smooth, you know, just it's kind of effortless with him. It's pretty cool to watch.
6'5 and a quarter, so 87th percentile height, 245 pounds, 7th percentile in terms of weight. His 40, you know, was 97th 447, 97th percentile. But by the way, the 10-yard split, 1.56, 93rd percentile too there. So definitely a height, speed guy. And you look at the perform. You talk about the play snap. He also did not play 1,000 snaps in his three years at Tennessee. So 400, right around four, almost, by the way, almost exact, 462 in 23 and then 464 in 24. But they rotated a bunch. He does feel like a guy, also, by the way, sixth on the consensus board. So fifth for you, sixth on the consensus board. He feels like one of those guys that falls to the Eagles.
Oh, geez.
At the end of the first round, and they just add another pass rusher to their.
All they need right there is another one.
Yeah, and you bring in, around him, around the, the other.
I thought that would be Jalen Walker because he's a dog. They only draft dogs.
Yeah, that might be him too. You never know, but people say that. But all right, so I it will be interesting to see. Does he stay? If he doesn't, if he's not in the first round, the other part of it is, I think, is the reason.
Yes, 100%.
The tape and the talent says first round player. Yep. All right. So sixth. This changes up a little bit, by the way.
I think this will be off the board probably. I didn't look at like people's boards, but I imagine this guy won't get as much love as I'm going to give him. And I imagine he's not in a lot of top sixes at the spot. Maybe he is. You'll tell me with the numbers, but this is the first true power forward. Like we're going back to basketball analogies. Like, we've had a bunch of stretch fours. We've had a point forward. Like, we've got guys that can do different things. James Pierce was absolutely a stretch four. Like, this is a power forward. It's Nick Scorton. And you saw he was at Purdue. He got 10 sacks. He transferred to A&M this past year. I mean, just thickly built. Like, he's a banger. Yes. Like, he's not the guy that's going to just twitch by you. Like, that is absolutely not this guy. But here's the thing. We talked about this earlier. So if you don't do that, you better have the other skills. And that's what I like. He might be a little bit thicker. He's got a motor and he's got instincts. He feels the football. He knows where he's going. He's got a good spin move too for a big old boy, because he's 280 pounds, I think. Like, he's got a nice spin move, plays his tail off, and just has a feel for the game, makes plays. He's obviously good against the run. He's good against the pass. He did it in two different leagues. And I think he's one of those guys that I'm betting on him too, because if I'm looking at the other guys that I'm going against, I think they're all good and they have physical gifts. I like the way he feels the game, sees the game, and I trust that he'll continue to grow, get better, and work on his craft. And I just think he's got that it factor too of knowing how to play the game, loving the game, and having a great feel for where everybody's at.
And what's interesting about him, more so, and by the way, I think he actually dropped a good bit of weight in the off season because he was like 257, I think, in terms of measurement.
Oh,
so he
played like 280.
Yeah, he played up there. So we'll see how that works out, but. This is one of those things, and I'd actually like to hear your take on this, because he is not even 21 years old yet, and he won't even turn 21 until like camp in August, versus somebody like a Princely Umanmielen that's a fifth year guy, or a Kyle Kennard that's a fifth year guy. How do you look at that in terms of these guys that are younger and maybe have only played 3 years, or have only played 3 years, versus somebody who now is having dominant play as a fifth year guy?
Well, you got a guy like Ezeraku, right? Like, that you just talked about, that like it took time. And here's the thing. When you have a guy that you've seen go through that and figure it out, like, you know that he has the capacity to do that. Scorton's been able to do that and just do it on the run and play and be very productive. Like, and again, another thing with him is, he's also one of those guys that he's going to be a scheme fit. Like, he's not the twitchy guy that you want flying up the field. Like, that's not the system that you want to put him in. But that dude can also move all over the place and put his hands on people and still hold up very nicely. So I think it's always a guessing game of growth and who's going to continue to grow. But I'm going to bet on football character. And when I watch a guy that loves the game, that loves to compete, like, those guys can tend to find things and get better. Like, they just continue to evolve and continue to grow because they like to play the game and they hate losing. And that's the thing. Like, do you hate losing more than you like to win? Because That's it, man. Like, you've got to hate when that guy gets his hands on you and he beats you. And how do I fix that continuously? And, you know, merging the two worlds is something that's difficult. And that's why these guys get paid gazillions of dollars to figure this crap out.
He was 11th on the consensus board. So
not even in the top 10.
You have him much higher. Yes.
Yeah. I figured.
So seventh.
I got this next guy much lower than everybody else, I bet.
Who was third on the consensus board.
Yeah. The another power forward. You know, Mykael Williams from Georgia. And listen, this is no disrespect to anyone else, including Abdul Carter. First guy off the bus is Mykael Williams.
Him.
Like, when you
at that position,
Mykael Williams, when he played little league football or when he played high school football, they made sure he sat in the front right next to the coaches. So when he walked off, everybody went, yep. Okay, that guy, like it's gorgeous. Like, it's 6'6", it's sculpted, like, he's physical. I trust his football character. He played on the edge a lot more this year, so you got to see more of what he kind of is. The thing about him is he plays hard. There's nothing to knock about him except for, I just don't know that he's a, you know, he's got a beautiful body and he's got a big, strong body, but he's not like a hippie person that's going to turn his hips and bend. I think he shows you sometimes we'll give you a shimmy and a bull rush that's really good. And you're like, yeah, holy cow, that's really good. Because again, you shimmy to get the tackles to kind of bail and to get, instead of attacking me, they react backwards and they're passive. And now I hit the gas and I go through you. And he can do that with his frame. He's 6'5", 260. Like, he's shown you some ability to win on the edge. I just, when it comes to the twitch, and he was banged up this year, in fairness to him. Yes. Like, he played hurt.
Very much so.
Clemson game, you watch that, and right, he got, it was the running back. What was his name? Big boy, 240 pounds, comes across, hits him in the knee in game one. Maffa, yeah, that's a big Maffa. Comes across, hits him in the knee in game one. And, you know, he sat out some time, came back, played, but he was being dinged up. And so I think that kind of clouds your judgment. If you're just watching this tape this year, I don't see the explosiveness that I want to see when I want to see him go win now. And I'm just telling you, man, you can be the biggest, strongest dude in the world. When you get to that level, you don't run through people. You don't consistently run through people and just bull people. Those are the biggest, strongest people in the world. Like, they're sitting in there at 6'6". I mean, I remember going against Jonathan Ogden as a rookie. That mother sucker was 6'9", 6'10", 360. And the ball was snapped and it was like pitter-patter feet like a ballerina. Like, these are the best of the best, not this year's class. For the last 10, 15 years, you got these big, strong suckers, and you're going to have to win with other stuff. He's young, too. Isn't he 20 years old, too? I think he's, yes, you know,
he's young, too.
He's young. His body is so good. And he's one of those guys that, like, if this thing clicks with him and he can get the edge figured out, holy cow. Like, because the tools are there. I just don't, like, I see some flashes, but then again, I give him the ball and I'm like, he's a little rigid with the ball, right? Like, he can't dip and lean and go to the bucket, create contact and finish, you know? I think he has to continue to develop those.
The word you use there, I think, with him that everyone looks at and, like, you see a flash occasionally and you're like, that's different. But then it's the gap between that.
When you see it again.
When you see it again is rather large a lot of times. A couple of things with him. If you're looking for what would he look like in the NFL versus what he looked like in Georgia, the Trayvon Walker comparison is very real because that's how they play him. He ends up, he was a four eye on inside the tackle a lot. And in their third down packages, he was oftentimes an inside rusher in their third down packages. So from a statistics standpoint, like, he literally, his 3 years at Georgia are basically carbon copies of each other statistically. If you want an outlier, you go watch the Florida State bowl game from 2 years ago. That was where he was on the edge the majority of that game. He had his highest grade, his most dominant sort of pass rush game was in that game. But again, I think the thing about him where, as a first-round pick, at minimum, I know I'm getting a great body edge guy who is really, really good against the run and really strong against the run at minimum. I got to develop the other stuff, but at minimum, I know at least getting elite run defender. So that, I think he'll be in the first round because of that.
Yes. But if you're going to go, if you're going to put, you said, what was his consensus grade? Like top three of everybody?
Consensus was three.
Okay. I'm not taking you in the top three unless you can go get that quarterback.
Defensive
end spot, at the edge spot, whatever. I can't take him over guys that
17th overall in the big board.
Listen, it's awesome to be able to play the run, and it is great. And I want you to be able to play the run. That's secondary. Like, I need you to be able to go. I need you to put your hand on the ground and go get the quarterback. Like, that's,
and go get double digit sacks.
Yeah. I mean, that's what you're looking for when you're taking somebody in the top, you know, 10, top 15. Listen, you get later on, obviously, you can talk different areas. And that's why I got him here. That's why I don't have him in the top three, like a lot of people do, is just because of that reasoning, just like the next guy. And
I'll say, we'll go one more, and then we're going to kind of group a bunch of them together and
okay.
And all right. Pick some stands out. So, eight.
Okay. I had to put this guy next because we're getting to the point again where I'm past now where I'm watching guys and I'm going, okay, they can do this, they can do that. Now I'm going, okay, they can show me this consistently. There's not a lot of consistency from a lot of different guys that I know what I'm getting. Like Mykel, I know what I'm getting, and it's still good, and the measurables are still there. So there's a lot to say that it can get better. This guy has no business being at eighth. This guy's going to get drafted in the top 15. I mean, I'm just telling you, he's going to get drafted over a lot of these guys that is on this list because he's an absolute freak. I mean, Mykel Williams, yes, the first off the bus, this guy has more talent. I mean, it's really freaky. And it's Shamar Stewart. I mean, 6'5", almost 270. Ran a 4.5, 940.
Nine.
Vertical 40.
96 percentile.
Yeah, I mean, the numbers are stupid. And he shows you flashes when he gets off of things. And here's what I'll say, Brent. It's almost like the tape when I watch him glitches. And I say that because sometimes it's like he doesn't start real good and it doesn't even look like it worked. It's like it just went straight ahead and then, whoa! And you're like, what the freak was that? And then sometimes it glitches, it goes to start and you're like, whoa! And then it just stops. And you're like, oh my gosh. Like, so you see spurts and you see flashes of holy cow, like the most talented guy in the class, and it's not close. And then you also see flash. Brent, I wrote this down. I was going through his stats. You want to know something crazy? I'm telling you all this about this guy. You told me about the 40. You told me about that. Brent, he didn't have a sack in the last 7 games.
Nope.
Well, not one.
Yeah.
Not one sack in the last 7 games.
I mean, he only had 6 in his 3 years.
In his 3 years. He had 1.5 sacks. His talent in college, this dude should be getting 10 sacks in his sleep. And so, again, I'm going to go back to my analogy that I used with, you know, McShay and with Jeremiah. Like, this sucker's a fisherman, and he's elite. He's got an elite rod. He's got an elite spot. He's got it all figured out. But he casts and he ain't never catching nothing. Like, consistently, he's just not catching fish. And so but his talent is so undeniable and it's so elite that you have to bite the hook and you have to get him at some point because.
And a coach is going to look at it and be like, I can turn this into domination.
It's going to be a D-line coach that just goes, coach, like, hey man, like, I'm just telling you, This is stupid. Like, I can take this and I can change this. And if he does and he figures it out, again, this is how high do you take this guy? That's the interesting thing to me. Is he a guy that you gamble and go in the top 10? If you do, you might lose your job. And he's also a guy that has the ability later on, but just an interesting enigma. You know, just I think the tape glitches is the best way I can describe it. Just
he's Wreck-It Ralph.
Flashes of greatness and then flashes of where I'm like, why didn't he get there? And then getting home to the quarterback and not getting him on the ground consistently, but like a movement skills and height and weight and speed, there is no better. And there's a lot of great that we've talked about.
He's fifth on the edge rankings from consensus, 20th, right around 20 overall in terms of the overall big board. All right, so I'll recap. Abdul Carter, 1. Mike Green, 2. Jalen Walker, Georgia, 3. Ezeraku from BC at 4. Pierce at 5. Scorton at 6. Michael Williams, 7. Shamar Stewart, 8. All right, let me go through a bunch of other names, and I'm going to give you kind of groups of names and pick a guy. So Landon Jackson from Arkansas, Jared Ivey, Ole Miss, JT, T out of Ohio State. Who you like out of those three? Who you taking first?
If you give me JT, I know exactly what I'm getting. And I don't think he's a power forward. Like he's not a twitched up guy that's going to win right now, but like he also to me has football character. You know, him and Sawyer, neither one of them, but I put both of them very similar boxes, man. Like they're not elite pass rushers by any stretch. Now I think JT's shown you a little bit more from the pass rush standpoint, but like so disciplined, so tough. Again, he played banged up too. He was banged up in the playoffs and he was out there still running around with his ankle and still being productive. So I think I would take JT. Landon Jackson's very appealing. Like I just think he's got some stuff to him with his, I mean, that dude's 6'6". He's long. He's got some stuff to him. He plays hard. He likes the game. You can tell, but like from a hip standpoint and getting his hips turned and stuff, I'm like, man, just like flip those hips, dude. Like unlock those things, man. Like maybe do some yoga. Like we got to get something to get that corner turned. But I think JT is probably the next guy in there that I would just depend on. And I know exactly what I'm getting. And I don't think it's going to be a double digit sack guy, but it's going to be a consistently a really good player that if he continues to work on his hands, you know, maybe he gets to that point where he can be really, 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 really good player, but probably not like an all pro guy.
Yeah. We're just consistent, solid, above average play, 6-7 sacks, quality guy, but never like a, you know, top 5 paid, top 10 paid guy. Give you three other names. Braden Swenson, Princely, Uman Mielen, and Josiah Stewart from Michigan.
Well, okay. Josiah Stewart's got something about him that's really good, man. I mean, I just – like, he consistently – now, I know he doesn't have the measurables, but you talk about a guy that right. – let's go back to basketball. A guy that blows by people – and has, again, what is that trait that, like, if you have that trait, if you have the one trait where you can blow by people in basketball, you can play and you can play at an elite level. Now you need to learn change of pace and you need to learn how to win with a counter. Like he's best just going and he'll pin his ears back and he will smash you. And he is so quick. He's not big, but I love that first step. And that dude caused havoc, man. Like he played, And he played with some alphas at Michigan. That's another thing I like about him. And he waited his turn, and he did a great job, man. He was a guy that I consistently watched, and I just said, you know, is he the best? No, but he is a guy that just consistently will make plays when you need him and will pin his ears back and go get the quarterback.
You want him on your team kind of thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
One, I think that was like, he was maybe 20, right around the sort of bottom part in terms of the edge rankings, that for me is very intriguing guy is Q Robinson at Bama, because you just didn't see much of him at all. But when you did see him, it was, I think he was someone that you're like, okay, that might be somebody that develops into a third down force in the league. But
hey, can you pronounce the UCLA guy for me?
Yeah.
I think it's Oladejo.
Oladejo. Yes, that's right.
Now he's super interesting to me too, because if you go watch him, he's an inside linebacker. You know, he's got some Jalen Walker too. That dude plays his arse off, Brent. Like that dude, he's a guy that, like, as hard as he plays, he's a guy that you're going, okay, I'm going to bet on him. I mean, he's got some twitch, he's got some speed to him, but like flies all over the field and obviously had the 1 year playing the edge. He's probably another guy that you go, okay, I mean, you watch this and you say moving forward, because because you got to learn your craft, man. Like, you've got to learn who you are as a rusher. You don't just switch positions a lot of times and figure it out. It takes some time, and it took me time. I went from defensive tackle to defensive end. It's like, okay, this is a different feel. You know, like, this is a different – I have to set people up. I got to win that spot. Like, there's different things that go to it, and he's a guy that you're like, okay, he's intriguing. You know, you probably put him near the top of this list of guys that you're going to creep into the top 10 because of the freaky ability to see ball, get ball, fly around, and have some versatility to his game.
All right, we'll end with this. So that's there's your sleeper, Oladejo from UCLA. I like that. That becomes the sleeper. Best tackle you went against in the league?
I already got to mention him, Jonathan. Well, Ogden.
All right, so next guy.
Okay, well, again, my career was like 7 minutes, but
how about, I'm going to tell you one story specifically that I know of that is.
Is it Willie Rofe?
Is the Willie Rofe story. We got to
Willie Rofe. That bro got me. I mean, he got me. Like, we're in KC, and he's a Hall of Famer, obviously. He was a great player. But, like, he was getting older. I was a rookie. And I'll never forget, man, that sucker, he limps up to the line of scrimmage. Like, he looks like he's dragging his leg. And I'm like, ooh, baby, sack time. Like, third and long, you know, he kind of limps up there. Man, that ball was snapped, and that sucker went, like, pitter-patter, pitter-patter. Like, what the heck just happened? Like, I was literally salivating, so excited. You don't get excited to go against the Hall of Famer very often. But, like, you knew he was a little bit banged up. But, bro, when that ball was snapped, he's done that pass set 3 million times. And his body knows exactly what to do. And his feet did it. And his mind did it. And I was just like, holy crap. And that was fun, too, man, because Kansas City fans are just so good. I mean, that to me, as much as anything, felt like a college atmosphere. Playing in that stadium. Arrowhead was amazing. Like, it was so cool to watch them go nuts, and it felt like you were still playing in college. But Willie Rofe, he got me. He definitely got me.
He earned that gold jacket, very much so.
Earned that gold jacket, baby.
All right, so folks that are listening, if you want to, or in the draft community, because the draft community, by the way, that's it, and the draft Twitter and all the folks that live and love the draft, that's a big deal. McShay is a big deal for a reason. Kiper is a national celebrity for a reason. So if you like us doing the draft rankings, we could do some more, I guess. Make you watch some QBs or some receivers, maybe. I don't know.
QBs, whatever. QBs, receivers are fun, DBs. But, hey, man, see ball, get ball, continuing to do well since we changed the name. It's all about the name, Brent. Like, it just need a little facelift, need a little name. We appreciate you guys watching, and we will see you next time, probably on Wednesday.